Hello once again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our midweek Bible study in this holy week leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for taking time to join us today as we gather around the Word of God. Just before Jesus ascended, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, He left a mandate to His disciples. He told them something they would need in order to be a true witness to the world. He was going away until the Father sends Him back to get His bride. But He told them, and it applies to every successive generation all the way to our generation today. And I want to read what He said just before He ascended, because after He had spoken these words to them, He went up in a cloud, and He's coming back in the clouds. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend of mine, today, this is the title of our message, is being a true witness to the world. Now, as we talk about and we tell them about our Savior, our Sovereign, our King, validating everything that He said because He was raised from the dead, which separates Christianity from any other world religion. Every leader of every religion in the world was dead and buried or cremated, ashes in the Ganges River, from Buddha, Muhammad died, Buddha died, every world religion leader has died, but our Savior is alive and well. We can declare that great truth. The empty tomb speaks volumes about our faith, and we're going to celebrate that empty tomb this resurrection morning. But Jesus left us a clear word of instruction of how to be a true witness to the world. We will never convince them just because the tomb is empty. We will never convince them just because we have the Bible. We believe the Bible. And you know what a lot of them say? Every world religion has a book. Every world religion has a leader. Okay, their leaders are dead. Our leader was resurrected. And they say, well, yeah, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And here we go. But how can we be a true, effective witness to the world? In fact, how can we be a supernaturally enabled witness to the world until our very life becomes something that makes them want to know more about God and come to know Christ as their Savior? How can we do that? What did Jesus tell us? The last statement He said before He went up in the cloud to His disciples, it's right here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." I want to stop here. Define power in the word that was used to them. It's the word dunamis. No, dynamo doesn't come from it, nor does dynamite, and neither one of them can in any way represent the might, power, and glory of a God who says, let there be a firmament in everything in our universe and in any universe where there is anything. Amen. Let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. Praise God. What kind of God is this that says, let there be, and there was supernatural ability? That's what it means. It's something that is through God, mighty through God. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. This is not just defeating the devil in spiritual realms. It's defeating the devil in the way that he has influenced and blinded the minds of men and women boys and girls, that they would see what we're saying. They would listen because they would have the scales fall from their eyes. But they won't even care to encounter the truth that we're trying to convey. Amen. Unless they see something in us that is convincing them. So this Holy Ghost power, he told them, said, "You listen, it's urgent that you be a witness to the world, but go into Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with this dunamis, power from on high." Power to what? To do? Yes, but also power to be. Let me read it here in context. "But you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." In other words, wherever you go, you will be empowered supernaturally to be a witness unto, to be first, and then to do. The charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, is power to do. But the fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Holy Spirit's work in and through our own life, amen, is the replication of the character and nature of Jesus Christ Himself. His love, His joy, His peace, His goodness, His meekness, His kindness, His long-suffering, and so on. This is the product of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit that He wants to do through our life, yours and mine, through our character, that His character would begin to come through. The Bible said it very clearly, as we behold, as in a glass or in a mirror, His face, His true features and character. We are changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, enabled by the Spirit of God, we become more and more like Him. Praise God. Amen. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up in a cloud that received Him out of their sight. And He said, "Don't stand gazing into heaven just like I went. I'm coming back for you." But He told them to go forth in the supernatural anointing, not just to do that, certainly those gifts of the Spirit were in operation. But let me remind you what the Bible said about the gifts of the Spirit as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity." The word charity here is not just helping the poor and doing good things for the less fortunate. The word charity here is agape. It has to do with divine love, the God kind of love, a love that it transcends anything on the human level. It's something produced by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said the love of God, this divine agape love, is shed abroad in our hearts exclusively and explicitly by the Holy Spirit. Amen. A lot of us as Pentecostals, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Spirit-filled, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit today, I operate in gifts of the Spirit. But listen to me carefully. I want to be a witness unto Jesus. More than just the power to do, I want this power to become more and more like Him. As it is written, "As we behold, as in a mirror, mirrored to us by the Word of God, by the life of Jesus. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Why? Because all of the Father's character and nature is being replicated in Christ. So that we could know God through Christ in a way we could never know God any other way. And how did he express that? The words I do are not just my words. And the works that I do are not just my works, but what I see my Father do and what I hear my Father say. So every word that he spoke and everything that he did represented the character and nature of God. That's how we know how good God truly is, because we could see and we could understand and we could read through the scriptures how good Jesus was. Hallelujah. And that's why he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Praise God. Because the words I speak are the words I hear him say, and the works I do are the works that I see him do. Son of David, have mercy on me. Bring that man to me. This is God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. Hallelujah. Listen, friend of mine, the fruit of the Spirit is so vital to really qualifying the gifts of the Spirit. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, though I'm supernaturally empowered to do that, and I haven't developed in the character of Christ, which is the product or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what happens? I'm sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. I'm making a lot of noise, but there's no substance. There's no witness of Christ. Power is in demonstration. But listen, people don't care how much you know. They won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's a fruit of the Spirit called love. Divine agape love. Only the Holy Spirit can bring that kind of love into play. And the kindness and the meekness and the patience and all of these other, building on that foundation, fruit of the Spirit, is a product of divine agape love. Because love suffereth long. There is the fruit of patience. Praise God. Love is kind. Well, of course, love is kind. And kindness is an underrated fruit, underdeveloped fruit of the Spirit. Little girl was praying and said, Lord, make all the bad people good and all the good people kind. Evidently, she'd met some Christian adults that were not very kind. And kindness is a product of the Spirit. It is a replication of the character of Christ and the character of God in the life of the believer. Not just power to do, though I have faith to remove mountains. Have not love, it profits me nothing. Listen, though I have all wisdom to understand all mysteries, I can rightfully divide the word. I'm theologically on a high level. I can explain the inexplicable, if that's possible. But let me tell you something. If I don't have these fundamental, basic characteristics of Christ, people just won't care. I will not be an effective witness, though theologically trained, until I've got so many degrees they call me Dr. Fahrenheit. I'm being facetious, I realize that. But listen, too many people are seeking power to do as opposed to power to be. And it doesn't start with the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. It starts with the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. It's His image that God wants to work in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying today? There's a difference. And without that love, even with all of these wonderful gifts, a true witness of Jesus is not going to be brought. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Look at it with me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. Now, before you put on your shouting shoes and lift your hands and say, Hallelujah, it's not that kind of praising. Amen. Listen to the rest of it. The praises of Him who brought you and called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. The Greek word here for praises, and I'm not going to try, I will try, arete, which means virtues or moral excellence. Well, that changes it, doesn't it? What they heard Him say and what we need to hear Him saying to us is that all that we are is for the high purpose of showing forth the excellencies of His moral excellence, this kind of virtue that we're showing to the world through the way we live our life and conduct our life, amen, of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. I like the Amplified. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. That's what makes us peculiar. The world thinks we're weird, and we say we're peculiar people. They say, I'll say y'all are. Well, they just don't understand who we know. But they need to be able to see something of His character and nature in us, that when we worship Him full out with everything that's in us, they just won't see us as some kind of overzealous worshipers, but they'll see us as people who are giving honor to the true and living God, not just by what we do in church, but what we are when we leave church. Listen, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Hallelujah. God makes us who we are so we can show the world who He is. Hallelujah. Before we can share Christ with the world, we need effectively, we must first show Christ to them. The world doesn't need, once again, another definition of Christianity. What it really needs is a demonstration. I like one preacher's story I'm going to tell you today. Actually, a couple. He said, I was walking down the street in Philadelphia, and a bum came toward me. Now, this was pre-COVID, and this is something I would never recommend you do today with, not that COVID's still around, but we've learned no more through COVID about germs and all the things you can get and washing your hands. And, you know, as one man said, my wife will kiss the dog, but she won't drink after me. So I guess that's true. But anyway, he said, I was walking down the street in Philadelphia and a bum came toward me. I mean a dirty, filthy guy. He was covered with soot from head to toe. You couldn't believe how messed up he was. He had this huge beard and there was food stuck in his beard. As he approached me, he held out a cup of McDonald's coffee and said, hey, mister, want some of my coffee? I looked at his dirty, filthy personhood and said, thanks, but that's okay. And I walked by him. The minute I passed him, I felt convicted. And I knew I was doing something wrong. So I turned around and said, excuse me, I would like some of your coffee. I took a sip of the coffee. I would imagine that he was praying, Lord, don't let me get the germs over this guy. Sanctified. Anyway, he didn't say that. This is a brief story. He said, I took some of the coffee and sipped it, gave it back to him. And I said, you're being very generous today. How come you're being so generous today? And this bum looked at me and said, because the coffee was especially delicious today. And I think that when God gives you something good, you ought to share it with people. Oh, friend of mine, God has given us something that good in no way can begin to describe how precious the gift of Jesus is, how precious His blood that was shed on Mount Calvary. Friend, in order to be an effective witness for Christ, we must first be an effective witness to Him. Amen. The preacher then asked, "What can I share with you?" Expecting the man to ask for money, because normally that's what it's all about, right? The guy simply said, "A hug." The preacher embraced him and said, "I felt for an instant that I was hugging Jesus Christ." Oh, friend of mine, when we show the love of God to this unloving, unkind, hateful, mean world, when we model God's love by loving one another, by this, Jesus said, and it's not about the charismata, it's not about the gifts and the power to operate in those gifts. Listen, when we model God's love by loving one another and loving people and loving God, amen, with a deep devotion, listen, we make Him known. Our witness has impact. The Holy Spirit in us will love others through us. Praise God. By this, singular, shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus taught, because you have love one to another. This is not just love for one another. This is visible, viable, demonstrable love that the world can see. Tertullian, who wrote about this new emerging church, he wasn't initially a Christian, he was a historian. And he was chronicling this emerging movement, this Christian movement after the resurrection. And he said something unique about these Christians. He said when they meet one another, even if they had never known one another, they treat each other as dearest of friends and family. He saw the love of God to one another, and he saw what? He saw the character and the nature of Christ, who the Bible says is in the image of God. Hallelujah. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world, of the earth. I'll close with this wonderful story of how a man by the name of Doug Nichols, the International Director of Action International Ministries, made in the excellencies of God known in a tuberculosis sanitarium in India in 1967, many years ago. He was a missionary with Operation Mobilization and got TB. He was in the sanitarium for several months. He tried to give tracts and copies of the Gospel of John away, but no one would take them. They didn't like him and assumed he was one of those rich Americans that felt, you know, above all of them. In fact, I was with a minister in one of my trips to Jamaica, and we were going out into the boonies to minister to people. And he looked at me and he said something, and I should have answered, but I was a young Christian at the time. He said, "I can't help but feel superior to these people." And it wasn't because of their color, it was because of their culture. There was just superstition and lack of education. And they couldn't dress up. They barely had clothes to wear. And I thought, I feel compassion for these people. I feel humbled by the fact that they will come and worship God with such sincerity and be thankful for so little. But he said, "I can't help but feel above these people." And I thought, you're not going to be qualified. Now I look back. I didn't think it then. I didn't know what to think, but I didn't feel right. And I thought, you know, now I would think, you're not qualified to minister Jesus. You can preach all day long, but you can't minister Christ with that attitude. And I believe we need to do more than just preach to people. We need to minister Christ to people, speaking the truth in love. Praise God. No one would listen to him, this man. They didn't like him. They assumed he was a rich American. Let me continue. At one point, for several nights, he would wake up coughing around 2 a.m. He noticed a little old emaciated man trying to get out of bed. Man couldn't stand up and began to whimper. I remember when we first got a dog that we adopted. We were bringing him home. We took him through and got him some ice cream and something else, and he wasn't used to rich foods, and he got diarrhea before we got home, and he was crying to get out of the car, and he couldn't hold it, but he was crying. I should have stopped and pulled over, and I thought, it's not far home, and we had a big accident, and we kept him anyway, and we loved him through all his trauma that he'd been through, and he's a sweet, sweet boy today. Amen. Laying upside down, letting us rub his belly when he wouldn't even let us touch his head. Oh, friend of mine, love is transforming, and he's given us the capacity to love like he loved, the agape love of God. Let's go back to this missionary. At one point, for several nights in a TB hospital in India, he would wake up at coughing at 2 a.m. He noticed a little old emaciated man trying to get out of bed. The man couldn't stand up. He began to whimper. He lay back into bed. In the morning, the stench in the ward was terrible, and everyone was angry at the old man for not containing himself. The nurse who cleaned up even smacked the old man for making such a mess. The next night, the very same thing happened. Doug woke up coughing with his own terrible sickness and weakness. He saw the old man try to get out of bed. Again, he couldn't stand and began to cry softly. Doug got out of bed, went over to the old man. The man cowered with fear, but Doug picked him up and with both arms and carried him to the bathroom, which was just a hole in the floor, and then brought him back. The man kissed him on the cheek as he put him down in bed. At 4 a.m., another patient woke Doug with a steaming cup of tea and made motions that said he wanted a copy of the booklet, The Gospel of John. Through that whole day, people kept coming to him, asking him for his booklets of the Gospel of John in their language, because though he could not speak their language, they kept coming to hear about Jesus. In other words, one way to declare the excellencies of God is to act them out. When we act them out or flesh them out, Ben Kingsley got an Oscar for playing Gandhi. And because Gandhi was so revered by so many people that followed his peaceful revolution, he said, this should go to Gandhi, not me. I'm an actor. All I did was flesh him out. When we flesh Jesus out, we bring glory to him. We magnify Christ. We lift him up like God lifted him up. Praise God. People will hear with great earnestness when they see the love of God operating in our life, which is another way of saying that our identity, who we are for the sake of God, who God made us to be, through that, supernaturally empowered, the product of the Holy Spirit in our life, hallelujah, we can show the world who he is. Glory to God. Today, the challenge is to become more like Jesus. As we are in this Holy Week, let us consider him. In fact, let this same mind be in you as we come up upon Good Friday, where he went to the cross voluntarily. Listen, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who, though he was equal with God, took on himself the form of a servant, and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Oh, today, I want to be more like him. I don't want my pride to get in the way of showing the world Jesus. I don't want to just preach at the world. I want to be able to show them something. So when I preach, they will give heed because they will know there is substance to this faith. Hallelujah. These people are truly seeking to follow the Lord, their Lord and Master's example. Hallelujah. Not just to win theological arguments, but to show the world the Savior and our Sovereign, Jesus Christ. Today, Christian, this is our challenge. This is the last paragraph Jesus spoke on earth to his disciples. But you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Friend of mine, let's humble our hearts as we see on Good Friday, this Holy Week culminating in the cross and then in the resurrection. Let's see our Master, who though he was equal with God, could have called the legions, armies of heaven. Let's see him as a lamb, not opening his mouth and praying, Father, forgive them from the cross. And let's seek to follow his example, to walk in love, even as he walked. And then let's tell the world about our wonderful Savior and the wonderful plan of salvation that he offers them. In Jesus' name. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and you've seen faults and failures in Christians, forgive us for not representing Jesus as we should. I'm truly sorry to anyone that I have failed to be more like my Savior. I'm still under construction, but I'm not making excuses for myself. I want people to know my Savior, how good he is. So come to Christ today. Look past any failure on any Christian's part and look to Jesus on the cross. God loves you today. Come and be saved this Easter season. In Jesus' name.